Hi everyone, I'm your host, Bella Page, and after suffering from post-concussion syndrome for years, it was time to do something about it. So welcome to the Post-Concussion Podcast, where we dig deep into life when it doesn't go back to normal. Be sure to share the podcast and join our support network, Concussion Connect. Let's make this invisible injury become visible. The Post-Concussion Podcast is strictly an information podcast about concussions and post-concussion syndrome. It does not provide nor substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. The opinions expressed in this podcast are simply intended to spark discussion about concussions and post-concussion syndrome. Welcome to episode number 120 of the Post-Concussion Podcast with myself, Belle Page, and today's guests, Bo Nana and repeat guest, Pam Trischel. Bo was raised in the Midwestern United States. Bo enlisted in the Marine Corps after high school. While serving in Hawaii, he was selected for a scholarship program at the University of Washington. Then after graduation in 1978, served as an infantry officer in California and Okinawa, Japan. Leaving active duty, he worked in sales, marketing, and training in the pharmaceutical and biotech industries, as well as health-related nonprofit organizations. He was an avid sailor, bicyclist, scuba instructor, and Coast Guard licensed master. Seriously injured in a 2008 bicycling accident, he admits doing everything 100% wrong for 4 years until he discovered a TBI support group. Now he facilitates a weekly online group from home on the Olympic Peninsula of Washington with his wife, a talented baker, and their very bossy Scottish Terrier. They look forward to the Kraken returning the Stanley Cup to Seattle. Pam spent most of her professional career in credit unions, call center management, and consulting. When not working, she sought adventures in the Pacific Northwest of Washington State, which led to her passion of scuba diving and underwater photography. In November of 2020, Pam sustained a head injury while gearing up to go scuba diving. When she came to, she immediately went to tell her dive buddy what had occurred, but amnesia set in, and her memory of the incident was erased. Suffering from scary, out-of-the-blue symptoms, she tried to blindly navigate the medical system. Meanwhile, she sustained a second impact without realizing it, had an unnecessary biopsy, and received several incorrect diagnoses along the way. 6 months later, she slowly regained her memory, and she was told it was just a concussion. She'd be fine and could resume diving again in a few weeks, but that was not the case, and eventually her mental health deteriorated, and she intuitively knew there was something still wrong and took it upon herself to dig further. Fast forward, Pam discovered Post Concussion Inc., the podcast, and Concussion Connect, and realized she was not alone. She still is learning to deal with chronic conditions because of these injuries and would be lost without the many advocates within her various support groups. They've been an integral part of her journey this far. Welcome, Pam and Bo.
Thank you, Bella.
So today we're going to focus on something that I've actually wanted to talk about for a while now, but never really thought about how extensively we should talk about it until Pam mentioned that it's something we should really talk about. And that's support groups. I run support groups and, you know, they're really important, and sometimes we don't realize how important they are for survivors. But what I want to start with is the benefits of support groups and why survivors should even join them. Pam, do you want to tell us, or Bo, a little bit about why someone should join a support group?
Sure. A lot of times on this journey, you're very lost and you feel very alone. And you may not realize it, but joining a group of people like-minded with similar challenges, similar objectives, feelings, experiences, it really helps you feel included, because part of this journey is very lonely and isolating. And part of that is almost a necessity as you heal. So having a support group really gives you a family, a community, you know, because like for me, my scuba diving, I had this huge community and can't scuba dive. So this was kind of a really nice replacement and very pleasantly surprised too, in just how helpful it was. I think one of the biggest benefits is the resources that you get from a group. that have been through a lot of what maybe you're just starting to go through. I know with your podcast and Concussion Connect, I gained a ton of different resources with the CLATCH group that Bo facilitates. It was incredible. I've gotten better medical advice from some of the individuals there than I have from actual, you know, doctors. So it's been very beneficial from that perspective.
Well said, Pam. I think you really hit on some keys. I didn't find a support group until 4 years after my accident. And those 4 years were pretty miserable. I did almost everything wrong as far as taking care of my brain. And you know, like a lot of people, denial and resistance and anger. But when I stumbled into a support group, it was serendipitous. I honestly started to cry when I heard other people talking about things that I had been going through. In our support group, we have people who say that our little band is basically their families. A lot of families become alienated. A lot of friends become alienated because you can't go out and go dancing and partying with your old pals. And so the support group becomes a different primary family.
I really love what both of you said. Pam, you talked about the loneliness, and I think that is huge. It's something I dealt with for a really long time. I kind of felt like I was the only person on the planet going through what I was going through. And I think our brains also do that to ourselves. Like when you become mentally ill and deal with things on top of illness, you just feel like, how could anybody else be going through this? Because where are they? Like, where are these people? And I really liked your idea of replacement or a substitution for like your diving group, because sometimes we need somewhere where we can talk about things that are going on in our lives. And sometimes that's really hard with friends that aren't ill and friends that don't get it, because you don't want to be the only person talking about how sick you are. I am very lucky to have a few friends that I can sit and talk about me being ill for an hour, and they know so much about it that they know how to respond enough. Sometimes they Google things when we talk, but that's okay. But that's really rare. And I didn't have that right away. That took me a long time to find people like that, where you go into a support group and it's filled with people who understand you. It's filled with people who can just talk about everything that you have been thinking about, and you don't even realize that there's other people that get it just as much as you want them to. You know, Bo, you mentioned something really important that I want to talk about next, and that's the challenges of finding support groups or even thinking of joining. You said 4 years. I never joined one until I started one.
It's a good way to do it.
So I actually spent probably 6 months joining different support groups before I started mine. And we're going to talk about that later. But that was the first time I was like, I want to start one. But like, I didn't even think of like, oh, there's so many out there that I should have been in these all this time talking with others. And that would have really helped me throughout my journey. But I really want to talk about the challenges of finding support groups, because we say support group, great. Where do you start? And so, Pam, do you want to begin with that?
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue. So I think I was 2 years, well, I was about a year and a half in to my journey, but nobody ever told me about support groups. It was me doing the research, me listening to your podcast, actually, learning about Concussion Connect. And that was kind of my first exposure to support groups. I was still trying to work at the time. It's a challenge sometimes to find the right time fit, because the time slot wasn't working great for me. I tried a couple others, you know, and some of them are set up differently, but nobody tells you. I mean, you get nothing from, at least I got nothing from medical community. It wasn't until I hit a wall in an emotional bad spot and I reached out to Brain Injury Alliance of Washington, and Amy, she was the one that recommended Bo's group. So kind of reached out to him, and I knew I found the right group. Number one, he was a scuba diver. And here I was facing this, you know, maybe never being able to dive again. So I thought, wow, he'd kind of understand what that was about. And then secondly, the very first meeting, he's like, oh, what was I talking about? And what, you know, what's that word? And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's me in a nutshell. So it just felt it felt like I was in the right spot. And I feel comfortable saying that because we've had other people say that within the group. But yeah, it's just nobody, there's not enough places that can tell you about a support group. It just, it's kind of, there's a void, just like there was a void for me finding out about post-concussions, you know, syndrome and or persistent concussion symptoms.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I have no preference. I have gotten attacked a few times for using the wrong term, but I don't think it matters. Whatever you want to call your illness, you can call it. If you want to call it a messed up ever concussion or my brain hurts syndrome, whatever.
It's all the same. Right?
It's all the same thing. So it's challenging. And like you said, you reached out to your Brain Injury Alliance. That can be a really great way to find a support group is reaching out through local brain injury societies. Every single state in the USA does have a brain injury society. I know this is a fact. Canada is also the same. There's one, there's multiple in certain provinces. Not sure about other countries, but one of the benefits is that a lot of these groups are virtual. So you can certainly join at any time. I know when you mentioned the times, that's a big thing because I've struggled because I have people globally, like over in Europe, people in Australia, people in the States in different time zones, all saying, let's join support group. And I'm like, okay. So trying to find times that works for everyone is always a challenge, but it is something that can be beneficial about joining a different time zone. A support group. Maybe, you know, night works better for you if you do still work and things like that. So that is really something wonderful. There's also in-person support groups, but we're going to talk about the structure of support groups after. Bo, do you find like challenges with finding a support group? Because I find a lot of people, they don't really know where to look. I think that is like definitely a first step is usually brain injury societies. But some people I think that suffer from concussions feel like they're not the right fit. Because they think stroke, they think traumatic brain injury, but that's often not the case.
Absolutely, Bella. That's the I think the first step, at least for me, was coming to the realization that I wasn't going to be able to do this alone. And things were not good and I needed help. And you know, so for I would say for at least the first 2 years, I was, I can beat this. I'm tough. I can overcome. So the first step for me was just realizing that my brain is not an enemy I can overwhelm. I'm going to need some help. And for the first 50 years of my life, I mean, support groups, those are for other people who need help, not me. I think getting over that hurdle was my first step. And it was, it was proven to be a really dumb thought. The instant I walked into the support group and was welcomed and was understood and it evaporated. And I'm like, these are my people. I need to be here. But finding it, I mean, it was happenstance really, because when somebody goes to an emergency room with a concussion, I don't think they know about support groups. Even my neurologist never mentioned support groups. I would say 9 times out of 10, it's that referral via the way Pam came, or somebody just Googles support group themselves. I wish there were a better way. I wish we could get our message out there that these are available. And then, the other considerations you guys talked about are accurate too. Sometimes there's not a right fit. I was on one support group. The time thing is critical too. I was on a support group 2 or 3 months ago. A woman joined the group. It was a TBI support group, but she had, I can't remember. She had some totally unrelated, but serious. She had kidney disease and she was looking for help. And this happened to be at an hour. She was on the East Coast and we were on the West Coast. And she said, I just need help. So we kind of dropped everything and talked to her. And so, yeah, the time, there's so many critical factors, but my message would be there are support groups out there. There is probably one that will fit. And we have people come in and spend an hour or so or even 10 or 20 minutes and leave. That's okay. I mean, virtual is easy, but we have people who come back regularly every week. The only thing as a facilitator of a support group, I will say, we now have people in multiple time zones. Mm-hmm. So The challenge there was when somebody asked me, what time is it? My first thought goes to, well, where are you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Those are all really important points. And I do really want to get into the structure of support groups and the different types of support groups there are and how that can make a different fit for everyone. But we will talk about that after the break. Did you want to create awareness about concussions? You can check out our entire clothing line through the link in the episode description or go to our website, postconcussioninc.com, and click Awareness Merch. From t-shirts, sweaters, tank tops, and multiple designs, including the podcast, Nothing Mild About a Concussion, and more, make sure to pause this episode right now and order yours before you forget, just like I would. Welcome back to the Post Concussion Podcast with myself, Belle Page, and today's guests, Pam and Beau. And so what I really wanted to talk about is the structure. It's something that I kind of studied, I guess, before I started mine, is the structure, because there's different ways to run a support group. So I'm going to let you two take that on and kind of talk about, you know, the different types of support groups that are out there, maybe some different structures there are that exist as well.
I know one of the things I like about our current support group is that you kind of get the best of both worlds. We have a weekly meeting. It's more the family event, you know, where we talk and share and advise one another, ask what's, you know, each other, how you doing, what's going on this week for you, anyone need help? And then we also have a monthly meeting where we invite guests like yourself, and there's more of a theme and a topic, and it's more of a presentation to the group. So I kind of like that, you know, like you mentioned, kind of checking into different ones to really, as Beau put it, find your people. And what really resonates with you, there's a lot of different things. And, you know, there's some big support groups out there where, you know, you kind of just listen to people's stories because they're so large. And then there's other ones that are really small and you can get kind of a one-on-one with somebody. So yeah, there's a lot of different structure and you've got to kind of figure out what's going to work best for you and what you truly enjoy.
The way I was introduced to support groups was I guess now I call it the traditional support group, where there's a subject matter or a presenter. You know, oftentimes it was an occupational therapist or someone who was familiar with brain injury talking about getting back into the routine of living. And for several years, that was kind of what my support group experience was. And then with Zoom, it became a little harder to do that, but it also opened up the opportunities for, you know, those a little more wide open. One of the inspirations, the group we have is, I describe it as free for all. You know, somebody who's having a problem that day, we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of was inspired by, I've attended some support groups with NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, I think. And they have very good support groups, specifically for mental illness of all shapes and sizes and causes. And frankly, we have a lot of people in the brain injury side of things and concussion side of things who can benefit by some of the NAMI support groups. But anyway, they begin their groups usually by saying, is anybody in crisis? And so that's kind of what we try to do is, you know, just check in first thing and how's everybody doing? One week, somebody will have an upcoming Social Security hearing that they need to attend. And so we talk them through that. This week, we have one of our wonderful members going through some therapy, and we're gonna actually have a little impromptu group to send some group mojo her way so we can at least make her smile. There's a support group that will fit almost everybody. And if you don't find that, like Bella did, start your own.
Yeah, pretty much. And I agree, there is so many different types. Like the presenter type was the type that wasn't for me. It's great to be a part of, like you said, like you have it not all the time, but I wanted to talk about all my problems and what I was going through, and I wanted to get help, and where that's a little bit of a different setup. You get to learn a lot, but for me, like that was like listening to a podcast episode. If I wanted to listen to a professional talk about a bunch of things, then I could just listen to a podcast. Where I wanted a group where, like you said, like the open format is really nice. I used to have subjects for all my support groups until someone's like, can we just talk? And I'm like, sure. We start ours with talking about our weeks because we meet every week and everyone's become quite close. So kind of like what they're going through. We work through things from moving, job loss, symptoms, finding new jobs, what kind of jobs I could even try to find, therapists, all those types of things. So, you know, we talk about everything, which I think is really important. We talk about relationships too. That's always a really big one with partners of survivors because there's a lot of challenges there. So I like that too. And sometimes a huge group is what you want because maybe you don't want to talk that much. Maybe you're just not comfortable with it. So maybe sitting and listening to a huge group is perfect because you just want to sit there and listen and maybe type a few things into a chat and, you know, you'll still get some wonderful resources from listening to others. And that can be really beneficial as well. And of course, there's in-person support groups as well that a lot of the brain injury societies do put on. I've just never been to any of them. But, you know, like Bo mentioned earlier, one of the benefits of the virtual support groups is you can just cut out. I tell people to come late. I tell people to come for half the time. You can come for what you need. Maybe you only have half an hour that day. Maybe a half an hour on a screen is enough. And so you can just cut out and disappear. So some of those benefits are really, really nice. And you can just click, go, join in. And sometimes the topics are nice because you can kind of know what to expect. Maybe you can prepare what you want to ask about. So those can be nice too. But it just shows that like, it's kind of like the recommendation that I have for finding a talk therapist. It's the same recommendation that I have for support groups. Try them out. You might not like one, but try another. Same thing with talk therapists. You talk to a therapist and they rub you the wrong way. Find another one because there will be one that you can connect with. But when you're ill and all that, sometimes it takes a bit of time and that's okay. And like Bo said, if you hate it, just close your screen. Yeah, like nobody will be insulted. It's okay. They know that you need help and you will find it where you need it. I think this is really important conversation to talk about support groups, kind of open up a little bit more about that it is okay. You know, there is sometimes the stigma of needing help. I think that's really common, more for men than women, but it is very common. And so is there anything else you two would like to add before we end today's episode?
Well, I will touch on that denial part. And Bo called me on it. Bo definitely called me on it a couple of times, but even before I joined, it was like, I don't need this. It's just that I've always been the one to fix things and I couldn't fix this. I couldn't make this better. And it was really accepting and letting go of that. And you do really have to get beyond yourself sometimes in the way things were. Mm-hmm. So in addition, I just would like to say thank you for everything you've done and put out there. You've been a huge resource to me on my journey, and I absolutely appreciate it. Everything from, you know, from the physical elements to the mental side of it, you've just provided a lot of great resources. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing, Bella, you touched on a little bit, the knowledge and the education part. I tell almost everybody, I've learned everything I know about brain injury from people I've encountered in support groups. My neurologist said, yeah, you've got a brain injury. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, it is what it is. But everything subsequent to that, everything I've learned about myself, about my brain, about how it works, how it doesn't work, has come from others and talking and listening to others going through the same stuff. And I will echo what Panda says. Concussion Connect is just awesome. I go through and listen to your, you know, your past podcasts and look up the subject and I'm a hockey fan, so I listen to all the sports guys.
Yeah.
It's a great resource, and I thank you as well.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us today and sharing your experience with support groups.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Need more than just this podcast? Be sure to check out our website, postconcussioninc.com, to see how we can help you in your post-concussion life. From a support network to one-on-one coaching, I believe life can get better because I've lived through it. Make sure you take it one day at a time.